The idea of common law escapes many, yet we live in a court system comprised of common law. In other words, in the U.S., judges participate in a common law structure as their decisions either follow other judges' decisions or are followed by other courts. So what is the common law? First, the name. Common law derives not from common sense or commonly held, but from the commoner's law, that is, the law for the commoner, as opposed to the law for the king and royal aristocracy. Indeed, the king had its court, but permitted the commoners to have theirs as part of an enforced caste system. Imagine in the commoners' courts, the judges rode on their horses from end to end as they traveled in their circuits, that is, from alehouse to alehouse. In such public common houses, each would meet litigants who waited in designated corners, separated from the public by a railing or bar. Indeed, we still call courts circuit courts, and in England they refer to ends of courts. Furthermore, the bar became a place for those appearing before the judge, as it is today. Let's take our imagination further through a story. Imagine the island of Columbia ruled by a queen, Queen Annette, who lived in the north and whose royal courts she dispensed her justice among those with wealth, per their largesse, gifts, or bounty. "Who can please me today?" she'd often opened her court session. "Seek the queen's benevolence and justice with your purse," she would cry. Was this justice? After all, the choice was always one out of two chances, hence at least the queen would get it right sometimes. However, in the South, a region of poor farmers and laborers, traveled a judge, the Honorable Ruby Kane. As the royal court did not travel to such lowly lands and people, Judge Kane traveled from end to end in order to adjudicate the disputes among the various parties. Judge Kane, though, eagerly sought equity in her judgments in order to create a fair system of rules and standards which then others could repeat. On one wet day, Judge Kane sat upon a bench in the corner of an inn, separated by a railing, when shepherds appeared. The first shepherd was Seamus. "I claim rights to a lamb born upon my land, born from a certain ewe that had trespassed upon my land," Seamus stated. "I am a lambing midwife during the lambing season," he began, "as I assist and have for years the troubled pregnant ewes in their lambing season, that is, those who need my medical assistance to give birth." "On one foul night," Seamus's tone grew serious, "without its owner, a distressed ewe crossed the creek and found its way onto my land. She was in great distress, nay, even dying." Seamus's tone grew somber and yet practiced. "I found the ewe without master and set her up in my lambing pen, and with my skill and knowledge, after 2 hours of difficult labor, I helped her deliver a healthy lamb. Had that owner been present, he would have agreed to my care and skill. Thus, for my fee, I claim that lamb." "No, no, 'tis not right," the owner of the ewe and defendant retorted. His name was Callum. "It is my life's work to grow my herd, and any offspring is rightfully mine as per the law. It matters not one whit that my ewe got herself lost that wicked night, and as for Seamus's fee, I agreed not to any fee. No man can go around charging other men fees for services which they do not request." Then Seamus replied, "Indeed, you have thy ewe, but I must have my price, for without my assistant that yon ewe would have died." Thus each party pressed Judge Kane to grant title to the lamb to each one respectively, Seamus as his price, and Callum by property rights. Judge Kane began her discourse. "We know that there are many shepherds in the area who have high skills and even expertise to assist the sheep farmers who have less skill. It is custom that each receive a price for their knowledgeable services. Yet here Callum was unable to bargain his price through the Hughes' carelessness. Judge Kane took the innkeeper, Roy McBride, aside and ordered food and drink for her, then told the parties to wait outside for her decision. When Roy returned with her requested meal and beverage, she turned to him and spoke. If I do not find a way to provide Callum with his price, the lambing midwives in the whole countryside will refuse to offer assistance without the owner's presence and bargaining. None would rescue or be so keen to lend assistance to any ill-fated pregnant ewe. Roy agreed. Aye, there's that. Yet, if I grant ownership, Judge Kane continued, if I grant ownership to the lambing midwife, I disrupt property rights among those farmers whose livelihoods depend upon their livestock. If any livestock, sheep, cow, horse, or other, then wanders and unfortunately gives birth while about, should the law then require the owner then sadly lose his property for the fate of his misguided beast? Roy shook his head in agreement with the judge, but remained perplexed. But let's pause our tale to ask what you would do if you were the Honorable Judge Kane. What is fair, equitable? What ruling would serve future guidelines for both shepherds for their services and owners of livestock? Finally, the court was back in session as Judge Kane seated herself again on the bench as before. The most imperative concern, she began, is fairness for both sides in this outcome. Indeed, custom serves both sides here. Seamus must keep his offspring as his own, and yet pay damages to anyone should his livestock wander. Yet the law does not cost him his title to his property, that is, his sheep. And Clallam should be encouraged to assist the troubled pregnant ewes in the hills and dales, even where their owners are not to be found. The parties were keen to hear her ruling. I have one question before I conclude, though, with my judgment. Seamus, had a reasonable person known about their sick ewe, would that reasonable person have arranged for a lambing midwife services? Seamus agreed. Therefore, she continued, even absent your actual agreement to bargain, Seamus, it is only fair that you pay Callum his market price. While you did not overtly agree with Callum, any reasonable person would have secured his service in such a dire situation. And Callum, you understand that your services are based upon what the market requires, and you are to not disrupt ownership rights. What is fair is compensating you per your normal fees for your skilled services. With this arrangement, Callum, will you be satisfied in your claim? Callum thought and answered in the affirmative. It is ordered by this court that Callum return the lamb and that the parties reach an agreement as to the market fee for services for lambing midwives. And if you cannot reach such agreement, you may return to this court my next visit. Judge Kane's ruling provided an equitable rule by first keeping with the ownership or property rights of owners of livestock, and second, keeping with those skilled professionals that offer emergency services to patients who cannot consent. When Judge Kane's approach is written and studied elsewhere by other judges in Columbia, that is, as generations follow her ruling, Columbia then establishes a rooted legal custom or tradition, thus forms the commoner's law, which we sometimes call judge-made law.